are listening to the Katie and Kay Current Ritual Public Affairs Show. I'm your host, SS Kitty, and today I have Alia Howe in the studio with me live because we're here to talk about Writ Large presentation of Field of Dreams, which is live storytelling. And it's going to be held, the next event is Sunday, September 25th at the Snowmass Collective in Snowmass Base Village. And I am lucky enough to be participating in this event. I just learned that Alia has been presenting these storytelling events for a decade in the Valley, which is news to me. So I'm just getting hip to all of the umbrella of Alia's offerings in the art world and healing world and yoga world. So Alia, welcome to the studio. What would you like to tell us about this upcoming event?
It's free.
Nice.
It's free. Am I?
You're not on.
I'm not on. Let me see. It's free.
Oh.
Am I in now?
Keep talking, Alia.
Hello, hello, hello. Let me see if I'm in.
Well, while we're getting that technical difficulty figured out.
How is that? Nope. How is
Dang.
This?
Mm-mm. Huh? We can try mic three, I guess.
Yeah.
Sorry, this is live radio, folks. So anyway, so other speakers, Raleigh, Burry, go ahead.
Hello, hello, hello. Do you turn my mic on?
There
I
we
think
go.
I'm
now
live
we're here.
Now.
Yay.
Yeah, yeah.
Mic two wasn't working. Mic two, get out of here. Mic three is on.
Okay.
All right, now we're here. Now you can tell us about.
It's free.
Yay. There, that was the most that we had to make sure you guys heard. This event in Snowmass is free.
Sponsored by the Collective in Aspen or in Snowmass Village. This is the second storytell event that they have sponsored this year. And Snowmass and the Collective and the programming there really values our community, hearing our community members' stories. And this one is called A Field of Dreams because I don't know about you, Kat, and everyone listening, but I am so ready to hear about people's dreams and goals. And if you're my daughter's generation and I mention Field of Dreams, you know the Kevin Costner movie, Build It and They Will Come? I just get a blank expression.
Luckily, I know that.
But truly, it's like, what if we individually in our lives dreamt about, built, and did they come or didn't they? I'm not interested if the story or the outcome was a huge success or if a complete flop, but that courage to build something, to dream about something and take that step towards building it. And I really think mentally we're fatigued with the events of the world, of the climate. And can we hear some dreams? Dreams for healing, dreams for health, courageous dreams for risking everything on an idea or an adventure. And so there has been so much momentum around me mentioning this, that this is the Field of Dreams one. And I hope that we do multiple community storytelling Fields of Dreams too. And so do reach out to Kat or myself if you would be interested later in sharing a story.
Yes, excellent. Yeah, and that's where being part of this, I was grateful that you asked me, and I really didn't know what to expect. And as you know, I initially was like, no, I can't do that, you know, and then you encouraged me, and I'm so glad that I said yes to this opportunity, because what I have realized is the storytelling process, it unearths so much of your history and your preconceived notions, and it deals with the ego. And it, for me, it's been one of the most therapeutic processes I've ever participated in, unearthing this story, unearthing my dreams, unearthing truth. And I love your ability to, your comments are so poignant and timely and, you know, right on for what I need to hear, and honest. And that's where I'm glad, like, just know anybody who participates in this process, like, be ready, you know, be ready to dig into your soul and let it be raw and let it be seen. And you create such a safe space for people to be seen and to see ourselves. And you're such a beautiful mirror to mirror back, kind of, both the beautiful things about us, but also kind of maybe the shadows or the parts of ourselves that maybe we haven't had enough courage to face alone. And so that's been my experience working with you, as this beautiful container to change my perception about my story and, you know, kind of root out victimhood in how do I achieve this dream? How do I achieve my goal? How do I make this transition? So have you gotten any, I want to know if you've gotten any other feedback from any of the other participants about their experience going through this.
Well, I can tell you that every storyteller is different. Some people are not ready to jump in and are ready to hedge around and indicate at struggles and certain successes, but not to name them so explicitly. Kat, you're so courageous, you're willing to dive into the bottom of the well to splash around there and, you know, begin to, each time we work together, mount your way up and out of your well, refreshed and washed anew. And this isn't about necessarily bare everything. It's about sharing a true moment from your life. And the growth is, in hindsight, we can look back and, ooh, that's what it taught us. That gave me the tools for this. And sometimes we don't look back and just take a moment and pause and just see that even the trials and the challenges or the courageous leaps, they all had lessons. And so working together in storytelling is just taking a pause, looking at the moment in life that picked or chose you, or the other way around, and having a look at what you have to teach me now. What did I learn from that situation? Let's celebrate successes and failures. And when you share it with your community in a storytelling event, you see the hearts and the eyes of the audience, your community, wide open, and they're ready to carry the story with you or for you if you want to dump it and walk off the stage and
we'll
leave
see
it
what
behind.
Happens.
Yeah, there was something else that was crossing my mind in there. We all acknowledge that public speaking is a number one terror in like the top threes. And people who are used to public speaking, they're normally presenting something that is very neutral, that they care about, but is not them. And it is a big drop into, wow, this is vulnerable, sharing a true story from my life. Whether it's a heart-wrenching story or whether it's how you weed the garden story. I often bring up weeding because one lady chose to talk about how she weeds her garden and how she pulls the weeds out was really indicative of what certain moods or states of mind she was in. And so much was revealed, whether you rip them up and don't bother with the roots, whether you take the time with the roots, whether you clear the ground around. There's so much when we are told about simple acts in our daily life, as well as the deep gut-wrenching stories, and all are welcome.
Right.
I want every storyteller to be super comfy and feel safe at the level at which they're sharing.
Right. And that was something that, you know, I shared with you that I realized is all of my public speaking in the past outside of this radio show has been academic based, research based, you know, teaching in neuroscience classes in universities, at schools. And so this storytelling, how to show up there, is so different than presenting in the academic space. And that's, I think, my main thing that I'm working on right now is finding my voice in storytelling and not as a teacher. Like, I'm not there to teach. And that's what I've realized, is I've been like teaching through the story, and I just need to tell the story. And so learning how to shift that, how I show up in that regard, is sort of my next mountain to conquer before the event. So I can have a good experience myself and also hopefully connect with the audience in a meaningful way with sharing my story and my dreams. And to key in on something else that I thought of when you were speaking before is the storytelling gives purpose to the suffering, I would think.
The discoveries of your individual truth within the story give purpose.
Right, because that's something like no one owns the truth. And I think that's something that I had struggled with in the past, as the ego, you know, told me that my perception of this was the truth. And as I've had to work through meditation and mindfulness and growth and maturity, I've had to let go of that idea and realize no one owns the truth. We all have perceptions that are colored by our history and our family and our past and, you know, our current state of how we see ourselves and our self-esteem and self-talk. And that's what I realize is, like, it's through this community storytelling, by honoring the perception of the other and gaining perceptions, and the more people you listen to and hear from, that's where truth lives, is in the collective perception, not in each individual. So that's something that I've been telling myself for years, is like, no one owns the truth. We all have just, it's all a perception. And then when we share and listen, that is where we kind of walk toward that truth together.
And I don't know that I would agree that no one owns the truth.
Okay, yeah, dig into that.
Yeah, I'm going to sidewind that our last storytelling event was called The Collective Perspective. And that the more we hear about other people's perspectives on their own lives, on certain situations, the more our sense of community expands, the more we expand to different perspectives, different cultures, different ways of seeing and perceiving and acting and doing. And it's through people sharing their stories that we expand. And without storytelling being valued in a community, it's a community with no community or collective narrative. And a community without a collective narrative doesn't survive as a community. It's a bunch of individuals going around in Fruit Loops in their own story. And when the story is heard and held by more and more members of the community, the more our hearts and understanding expands within the community. So storytelling for me builds community, builds understanding, expands awareness and appreciation for different people's values and lenses on different situations or the same situation.
Right, right. And it makes me, I was thinking of Native American society and, you know, from what I've read and learned, the storytelling and the wisdom from the elders, you know, was a fabric, a part of that communal living. And I feel like the loss of tribe and the loss of more native rituals and storytelling rituals has been reflected in sort of our packing away our elders and not maybe respecting elders and wisdom and storytelling in the general, like, American society, where youth and fast pace and all that is honored in the individual, like you said, all of them running around in their own stories versus having this collective. But we're lucky enough to live in this beautiful area of Colorado where this is you've helped make this a reality and brought this into the fabric of our community and our awareness. And I'm just, yeah, I would have never, if someone would have, you know, showed me this flyer and I wouldn't have, you know, I would have been like, oh, that'd be fine. And now that I'm in it with you, this is some of the most powerful work that I've ever been a part of. I realize. And it's, I guess you don't know what you don't know until you know it. So I'm glad I'm getting under your umbrella now. I'm under the Alia umbrella now and I'm digging it for sure.
And this isn't about storytelling perfect. It's not like the highly rehearsed and refined Moth series, where in some instances they have teleprompters. This is people getting courageously up and sharing a moment from their life. And it's probably the most precious gift we can receive from community members, is them sharing from their heart a moment in their life. And it's hugely courageous getting up there. And my work within this is to try and help people feel comfortable having a conversation with me about their story. And I love hearing the stories over and over, deepening and changing. I just don't get tired of hearing someone revisit the same moment and check in. Is that still true for me? Is that still true for me? Because we can't talk about other people's truths, but we can talk about our own. And when we really hit the essence of a truth for ourselves, I believe it resonates with everyone. Because even though we have different life experiences, we all have, I believe, similar goals to live a happy and fulfilled life, a meaningful life.
Right.
And I think we'll find throughout all communities, possibly at the roots of, not possibly, I believe at the roots of all religions, some really common human ideals and truths
exist.
Yeah.
Right. And the stories. And even like
in
with
the commandments,
children.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Command. And even like I was thinking about my son, so much of, you know, raising him, he's 4 and a half, is storytelling and reading books and learning lessons, you know, through these stories. And that's what I was reflecting on today is like, well, we need story. Like, we don't just need them in childhood to learn. We need storytelling to learn throughout all the phases and ages of being human. And there's one thing there's that I want to go back to that I think it might have been one of our first meetings together. You gave me this beautiful visual of how all of us have all these stories that are sort of like attached to us but with strings, with threads and like and kind of like floating behind us. And I've really that visual of like what that's what I want to bring to the audience right now. So if you want to describe, I don't want to.
No, go ahead.
Okay. Well, I'll give you my perception of what I remember and then you can certainly enlighten that. But the idea that I got was, you know, I have all these strings attached to me or threads attached to me and there's stories at the end of each one of them. And all of them are requiring energy for me to maintain them and to hold them and to have them be part of my identity and part of my story that I tell about myself to myself, about who I am and what has happened to me and what I believe in. And what I imagined is, okay, let's visualize that. And which of these stories are not serving me? Like what, which of these stories are sucking my energy in a way that's like pulling me down and holding me back? And then which of these stories are uplifting or enlightening or critical in a way that actually helps push me forward. And so that's been a visual that I've had and been thinking about. And as I'm doing a big shedding process in my life right now in lots of different ways. So I've been trying to shed the threads that...
To a specific story.
To a specific story that I'm like, you know what? You don't need to carry that anymore. That doesn't... That's in the past. It doesn't resonate with the truth.
And yet I keep repeating it.
Right. And so that's a visual that I wanted to share with the listeners is, and challenge them to think about your own stories that you keep about your past, your family, your work, your romantic life, your childhood, and maybe evaluate or take some time to reflect upon if there's ones that still resonate as true. Are there ones that we need to let go of? What prompt would you give? I mean, you're the teacher. That's why I was like, maybe you should talk about this. But what would you encourage people to do if they wanted to kind of practice some of this unearthing storytelling at home on their own?
I would have a look at the work of Byron Katie.
Okay.
She's a great teacher, and I think I've only taken 2 workshops from her, but she really made a big difference to me in story and my own story and what I perpetuated and how I looked at it. And I watched her work with many other people. And Byron Katie, Byron Katie, she's got a magnificent and inspiring life story. And in her workshops, ask 3 questions, turn them around, which is basically, can you look at the statement you just made from a different perspective? If you're blaming someone and saying something about someone else, what if you said that to you? How does that resonate? I found her work really insightful. And because I'm not working with any particular individual, and I find this a very hands-on, heart open process with each individual storyteller, and I work with each storyteller differently. And I can also say that, well, it's not quite there, but at some point in this moment with you, Kat, I'd like to go to listening and the art of listening and the nourishment of listening.
Yeah, that's we can talk about that right now.
When you spoke about native cultures, indigenous cultures, one of the things that I've experienced in my travels around the world is noticing how different cultures listen and how my culture doesn't. How when someone is speaking to us, we tend to be self-referring to how it relates to us so we can speak back about us. And
guilty.
Me too.
I'm working on it.
me too. And the art of listening until someone's finished, waiting a little longer, and instead of injecting, you know, I had exactly the same experience when I da-da-da, but saying, hey, do you have anything else to say? Or as you were listening, do you have any questions about what your friend or companion was sharing, so that you help your story sharer mine it completely until they feel complete. And when you do that, just call Kat back and say, what did you notice when you help someone say, you know, I'm complete in my story right now? And then you could say, hey, well, if something else comes back, call me up. I'll listen. I'd like to listen.
Right. And that's been probably the biggest transition in my consciousness over the past few years, is with my history and where my nervous system was and where my consciousness was, I was not in a place where I was valuing other people the way that I now am, and seeing the magic in so many people and realizing how many beautiful souls are here in this place and how many contributions. And the more I open up to that, I'm just in awe of so many people in this community, and also humbled by how much power each of us hold. And that was something that I was sort of blind to in the past because of my own isolation and stories that, you know, were leading me down a path that I wasn't able to connect with people in the way that I wanted to, or that I had the capacity to do. So that art of listening is, I think, probably going to be a goal for the rest of my life.
Mine too. And you know, I'm a quick switch, impatient, kind of fast thinking, switching person. So the actual healing and stabilizing of sitting and listening to story brings me back to my childhood, where both my grannies lived in my house. And to give my mum a break, each of my brothers and sisters had to go and spend 15 minutes per day with each granny. So that gave my mum like 2 hours break. And their stories didn't change very much. And yet how they were perceiving their stories, depending on their mood, the time of day, the sun or the rain, their stories would be different every time. And I loved the magic of the nuances. And so that really carries me forwards into holding stories as something so precious, because they're fleeting.
Right.
In the grand macrocosm scheme of things.
Right. And loving, as I always do, to connect, you know, this artistic and creative expression back into science. We're in a beautiful time of human history where science is proving all of these holistic and spiritual and consciousness-based activities. And research has shown that all of our cells hear our thoughts, and, like, you know, our DNA and how our cells act is affected by our thoughts. So that is where stories have so much power over our experience of being human, over our capacity for joy, and even maybe over our health, or how our body even feels, like our feelings of wellness or our feelings of illness, I think are more connected to these stories than we may have given them credit. So that's what I encourage everyone, is to just take a pause occasionally and reflect upon, where's your mindset? Where's your self-talk? What stories are you telling about yourself? What stories are you telling about other people? And the power of, you know, how you were practicing with me the other day of, don't say what you don't want. You know, like, I am not scared. It's like, I am courageous. You know, that flip of being intentional with the messages we send ourselves and other people, I'd say is definitely a worthy endeavor.
And to stand on stage and be seen and listened to and witnessed is an incredible moment in life, because many of us at certain times have felt invisible, not heard. So this is a magnificent opportunity for both storyteller and audience together.
Right. And that's what I'm realizing is, you know, I've spoken in front of huge, you know, groups of people, but I was talking about stroke research or bone marrow transplant research or neuroscience. And I'm realizing now I have no, like, I don't have fear of public speaking in those scenarios, but this is totally different. This is my heart and vulnerability. And so I really don't know how I'm going to feel, but I'm definitely up for the challenge.
So everyone, come and hold Kat and the other four storytellers on Sunday, September 25th, from 6 to 7:30 p.m., listening to the stories focused on fields of dreams. Build it and you will come. They will come. It will come. Imagine yourself into that story, and it's at the Collective in Snowmass Base Village, right next to the Limelight Hotel, the ice rink. And I really hope to see you there. Please RSVP, just so they know how many chairs to put out. And let's really bomb the place for these courageous storytellers. Thanks for having me on the show, Kat.
Yes, thanks for being here today. And if you want to RSVP for the show, you can email info@thecollectivesnowmass.com. And this will be up on KD&K Radio. If you want to share this episode with friends or family, that will be up for your viewing pleasure. The link to the RSVP will be there. And yeah, take care of each other. Take care of yourself. And until next time, this has been The Current Ritual Public Affairs Show. Later.